I want to remind you, if you've never been baptized and you would like to be baptized, to see me after the kids are dismissed in the junior church room.
And we'll go over some of that. We looked at how the enemy schemes against us last week. We saw how he tempts us with shortcuts. How he's out to kill, steal, and destroy.
And that he goes about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I reminded you that you are someone. You are someone. And he's out to get you. But we face a defeated enemy. We face a defeated enemy. Yes, he's still strong and he's still working in this world. But the very power that raised Jesus Christ and enthroned him in the heavenly places has raised us up from being dead in our sin and trespasses and has seated us with Christ and is now at work in us and for us, both in the heavenly places and here in this world. That's awesome to know. I'm going to read to you from chapter 6 of Ephesians, starting at the verse 10. Finally, what he's saying there is from now on, right? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I'm going to stop right there. I want to talk about the armor. He's got this nice picture he's going to put up there. He wanted me to dress in armor. I shot him down. First of all, I thought it might be a little cool for a skirt, and I just don't want to do that. That's the best part, was I just don't want to do that. See, I could have. Now, where were you when I needed you? Oh my. We as Christians are able to stand against the enemy's schemes when we have put on the whole armor of God. Every bit of it. No matter what he throws at us. If we're in Christ, if we're in the armor given to us by God, we can stand, withstand any of that. With the armor of God, we are able to stand against his schemes, to withstand the evil day, and to stand firm. To stand firm. We cannot be unstable, which is the opposite of standing firm, right? We can't doubt. We can't be weak in our faith and driven like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind, tossed to and fro. That's from James. He told us that we have to be strong in our faith. We must stand firm in our belief. Believing, remember, is putting into action the knowledge you have received by faith. If you believe something, you're acting on it, right? Otherwise, it's just knowledge. I can have all kinds of knowledge, but if I don't put it to use, right? We stand firm not only in our belief and in our faith, but also in the strength of God. Not in our own strength. We must be strong in the Lord. The armor we are to put on is forged and furnished by God. It is not of our doing. It is ours by the way of Christ and the cross. Amen? You, and I want to remind you of this, you as a believer are a target for the enemy. You are engaged in a spiritual battle and are equipped with God's armor to defend yourself and thereby the kingdom. Think about that. As we are defending ourselves within the armor of God, we are also defending the kingdom because we're a part of the kingdom. We're part of the church. We make up the church. We make up the kingdom of God. Therefore, as a soldier of the kingdom, put on the full armor, the whole armor of God. Start with the belt of truth. For it is only truth that can dispel the lies of the enemy. And that will set us free. This is both truth as in sincerity and honesty and being truthful, and truth as the revelation of God in Christ Jesus our Lord and Scripture, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. And we have to stand in that truth. We need to surround ourselves and walk in truth. Belt it on, right? Belt it on. To be deceitful with your words. To resort to scheming. To be of the world. Is to go against everything that God has taught us. And is teaching us. And is leading us through. And when you use the enemy's weapons in this world, you're no longer fighting against him. But for him. As you are using his language, his ways, and are going against the very nature of what God has implanted within you. Those little white lies are still lies. Partial truths are still lies. We have to be careful how we use our words. We must also don the breastplate of righteousness, right? Now, a breastplate covered... Hey, can I have that picture, please? There. Full armor of God. Breastplate of righteousness covers the heart and the vital organs that we have, right? That breastplate is fastened to the belt in one manner or another. There's a belt holding it down or on, or depending on the armor of the time. That's what keeps it in place, is the belt of truth. Without truth, his righteousness cannot stay put. When Paul speaks of righteousness now, he is usually referring to our justification. You go back through and read about it. It's usually about our justification. Not always, but usually. So when he's talking about righteousness, keep that in mind, right? By grace, God is putting sinners right with himself in Christ. Jesus takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. He gives us his righteousness. And there is no better protection, spiritually speaking, than being clothed with the righteousness of Christ. That's ours. It is his righteousness. We no longer stand condemned. We are then in his righteousness as we are being saved in our salvation. We are accepted, cleansed, justified, and sanctified. All unrighteousness is gone in Christ. His righteousness, from what I have come to understand, is to be maintained. Think about having armor. If you have all this armor and it's just left sitting around, if it's not being maintained, if it's not being cleaned, if it's not being kept up, it's going to rust. They didn't have stainless steel back then. So it's going to rust. You have to maintain your armor. You've got to keep it pure without problems with it. So we have to maintain our our righteousness, or the righteousness that He has given us. And it's to be done in our character and conduct through our own moral uprightness. Not our righteousness, but our uprightness that we have been granted in Christ. It has to be maintained. If not, if we don't maintain it in that manner, the accusations of the enemy will take their toll on us. He may bring up your past. He may bring to mind your shortcomings, your temptations, even your immaturity. But there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who is there to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. He is maintaining our or His righteousness. I don't know what's causing that. It's driving me nuts. He's maintaining our righteousness or His righteousness in us as we walk according to His word, as we maintain our moral uprightness. We're polishing that which He has given us. We're maintaining it. And then we are to put it on, attach it to the belt. You see, you as a believer are completely forgiven of all past sin and given Jesus' righteousness. Your integrity and His righteousness woven together become an impenetrable covering to spiritually protect your heart. It's a bulletproof vest. Nothing can get at us unless we let it in. Now, couple that with the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace, and you can stand firm. You see, back then, a soldier's shoes were leather and studded through the sole. They had studding on the bottom of it, like your tires do for winter, right? They could grip the ground so they would not slip or be easily moved or pushed backwards, right? You must be ready with two things, or as two things. To stand first, firm believing in the gospel, having a strong foothold, and you must be ready to share it. You must be ready to share the gospel with others. Because then you're standing firm, because the world's constantly coming at us. How many of you watch The Chosen? Have you ever seen The Chosen? If you haven't, there's fish that's swimming in a circle, and as they come to Christ, they turn and go the other direction. They're swimming against the flow, because the flow of the world is constantly coming against us. And I thought that's a good analogy of what we have to be standing firm in our belief, or we're going to be pushed backwards. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Your faith in God is a shield that you are to use defensively, right? Your faith in God, not faith in faith, not something that you drum up. It's something that God gives us, right? He gave us faith. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Both grace and faith are gifts from God. Now we need to stand firm in our faith of God. I remember struggling with this when I was a young Christian, trying to figure out, what are they talking about? You got to have faith. You got to have faith. All things are accomplished by faith. Well, what are you talking about? Faith in God. Not in what you can do, not faith in faith, but faith in what God can do. Your faith in God will protect you in all circumstances if you use it. Your faith in the promises of God will protect you from the flaming darts of doubt, deception, discouragement, depression, distraction, desire, denial, and destruction. It took me a long time to get all those D's. Could I have that slide with the shield, please? I'm sorry. The shield was approximately 2 feet by 4 feet. It was double-layered wood, and it was coated, and it had metal to bind it together. And when it was designed so that flaming darts, the arrows that they would shoot at them, would not catch it on fire, would deflect it, which was a little bit rounded. And as we're going to see later, I don't know if I gave you that picture. We'll look at it later at another time, because we're going to be with this for a little bit. They could join them shields together and protect the whole group. But in protecting ourselves, we have to have that shield of faith that covers us, that's all around us. Faith is what is between you and what the enemy is throwing at you. Your faith can protect you from those flaming darts that he's throwing at us. Your belief, your trust, and your confidence in his word is what extinguishes those flaming darts. It protects us from the lies. They lose their power when we hold up the shield of faith. And we become overcomers. You see, in that way, faith is our shield. The next thing that we need to look at is the helmet. And the helmet protected the head. We see football all the time. We see they wear helmets to protect their heads, right? Protects their brains. Spiritually speaking, the helmet of salvation protects the mind, right? It is knowing that you know that you know that you know that you are saved. Nothing can get through that if you know it. You need to know that you're saved, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that they're water under the bridge. They're covered by the blood. You have the helmet of salvation. Put it on. Put it on. It is our assurance of salvation. It is knowing that you are forgiven and delivered, justified and sanctified, that you are now a child of the living God. In the helmet of salvation, you are enabled to hold up your head with confidence and joy in the fact that you are saved. No lie of the enemy can penetrate that helmet when it's on. Last, but not in any sense least, we have the sword of the Spirit, which we know is the Word of God. We're told that right here. A sword is both defensive and offensive, right? I'm going to read to you from a couple places in Revelation. I'm going to read Revelation 1. We always try to begin at the beginning. Revelation 1, verses 9 through 16. And this is describing Jesus. And I'm doing this because I want you to hear what they say toward the end of Revelation in chapter 19. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, Sunday, right? On the Lord's Day. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, saying, write that what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. I wasn't even going to try it because I was going to spit all over the place. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands was like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining at full strength or in full strength. We're talking about the word of God being the sword of the Spirit, right? He's talking about using the sword. That's the word of God. Now, if you go down to, and I didn't mark these ones, chapter 2, I'm looking to where I have it here. It's chapter 2, verse 12. And to the angel of the church, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. And then down toward the bottom, it does that same, verse 16. Therefore, repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against you with the sword of my mouth. He's going to use the very word of God, right? Then if you jump back to Revelation 19, I'm going to read 11 through 6 through 16. Remember what I said about in chapter 1, right? Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, the one who on sitting on it called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flames of fire. Remember what it said before about Jesus' eyes? And on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. Again, he's speaking forth the word, right? And just to tie it all together, we read these words in John. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. On the last day, the words that are going to judge us are the words, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God will be what judges us. God's word is a defensive weapon, as it can be used to block the words of the enemy, just as Jesus did in Matthew 4 when he said, "It is written." He corrected every time that the enemy twisted things, Jesus corrected him and said, "It is written." He used the very word back against him. And it is used offensively against the world when we share the gospel and speak the truth in love. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any sharp two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. A sword can cut, but it can also pierce. And it pierces us to the heart at times. It makes us struggle. That's grace. I want you to know that's grace, and it brings conviction. Again, great God's grace. With God's armor, you are spiritually protected with all that you need and are now enabled and empowered to stand firm and be strong in the Lord. But you have to take it up. You have to put it on. You have to use it to protect yourself against the enemy. Are you strong in the Lord? And the strength of his might? Have you taken up the shield of faith? Do you have any knowledge on how to use the sword of the Spirit? We're going to talk more about this in the next couple coming weeks, okay? There's a lot there. I'm just giving you information right now. This week, you're getting information on what each of those things are. They are to be used spiritually. And as we're going to look at, they're to be used and donned in prayer. It's a spiritual warfare, right? What does he say back in, if I can find my place? What's he say in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We are called to be salt and light. Light dispels darkness. Are we willing to take up the armor of God that has been given to us so freely and do battle? Spiritual battle. In prayer and through prayer every day to to stand firm and be strong in the Lord. I invite you to come and pray and don that armor. Put it on and stand against what the enemy's trying to do to you and to us as a church. Would you join me this morning in prayer? Father, we are truly grateful that you have given us full armor, that it's your armor, Lord, that we don, that we put on. Help us, Lord, to stand strong, to stand firm, having completely encased ourselves in this armor. Help us to hold up the shield of faith when those fiery darts come at us, Lord, when those flaming darts are hurled at us, Lord. Help us to take up the sword and to use it both defensively, Lord, and offensively. Help us to walk in your word, in the truth, and in your might. And we ask this all and we give you praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We're going to remind you, if you'd like to be baptized,
get a snack because the kids are going to be back here for another 10 minutes or so, and then come and talk with me back there. Also remind you, we are not having service here this coming Sunday. We will be down at the park. Hopefully you will all be there. Invite your friends. And we will be having the baptism after our normal service. And then we'll have a picnic. So sounds like an awesome time. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we are truly grateful again, Lord, for the armor you have given us. And Lord, as we go out from here, help us to stand firm in the knowledge that you are right there with us. Help us to stand firm and be strong in the Lord, Lord, so that knowing your love and your mercy and your grace, and help us to use both the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.